18, and from verse 20. Actually, from verse 18. So 1 Kings 18, from 18, and we'll just read together. "So I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's command and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring me the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." And then from verse 20, "So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, 'How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him.' But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, 'I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of the Lord your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God.' Then all the people said, 'What you say is good.'" And then we're going to go down to verse 27. "At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. 'Shout louder,' he said. 'Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened.' So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. And then midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention." And then verse 30, "Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come here to me.' And they came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, 'Your name shall be Israel.' With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, 'Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering on the wood.' 'Do it again,' he said, and they did it again. 'Do it a third time,' he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, 'O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you for this morning. I just ask that you would just come, your Holy Spirit would come, Lord. And, just speak to us this morning, Lord, out of this word, and just let your will be done, Lord. Just touch us this morning. Speak to us. We thank you, and we praise you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, to be honest, one thing that's been a lot on my mind has been this thing called revival. So, what does it mean to have revival, and what would it mean for SP to have revival? And to be honest, and I'm just sharing my heart, I don't even know if we're going to record this or put anything in. We have a small group. So I guess, for one, this verse here, where, "How long will you waver between two opinions?" And when Elijah asking this, I felt like it was asking it to me as well. And what I mean by that is, number one, do I really, is it, the word wave around is, waver, is actually dance around. So it's very interesting in the word, like all the prophets of Baal are dancing around, and then also God is saying to the Israelites, how much are you going to be dancing around like this? Like, are you going to be here or are you going to be here? What are you really doing? And number one, I felt that really speak to me, because here I am, I've been a member of this church for a long time, but do I really have God's heart, or do I have my own heart? And I guess I had to say, and please, I'm just sharing out of my own heart, and I'm not saying you're dealing with this, but I was just so self-centered. What I mean is, you know, I'm coming to EMP and I'm spending time with God. And of course I pray for the church, but also a lot of times, you know, when we love someone, you are happy when the person that you love are pleased. You're not in the love relationship to, like, if with my wife, I was saying every morning, the first thing I wake up, I hope, I'm not saying I'm like this all the time, but I hope that when I'm in a marriage and with my wife, the first thing I wake up, hopefully, is that, wow, how can I please my wife? How can I make my wife happy? Like, to be so filled with love and joy that the first thing that I would wake up in the morning would be like, I want, you know, I just thank you so much for my wife. And I want to make my wife happy. And I'm not saying I'm like that, but I think that would be a great marriage. And I think that I would be filled with such love and joy. It would be awesome. And yesterday I was thinking about what to share with you guys. And I thought in my own heart, is that how I think about God? Like, wow, this lover of my soul, he loves me so much. And, you know, all of us, by the way, it's Saturday. So we're sitting here. It's because we experienced that love of God at one time. That's why we're all sitting here. And maybe we've forgotten that love for a while or whatever it is. But I'm sure all of us have experienced that love at one time. But yet, am I thinking about, Lord, because you so much love me, and it's not out of duty, but just I love you so much. So I wake up this morning, and was my first thought, oh, Lord, how can I love you today? I'm so thankful. I just love you so much. And again, not out of duty, not out of religion, just out of love. And I realized a lot of times that's not what I'm thinking. When I go before the Lord and I'm reading the Bible, I'm not like, oh, I want to just spend time with you today. And sometimes I am, but a lot of times I'm focused on, Lord, what's your will for my life? Lord, what should I do today? You know, a lot of times, Lord, bless me in my workplace. And of course, that's not bad. God wants to bless in your workplace. But God doesn't want to bless us in our workplace just so then we're blessed. God wants to bless us in our workplace so that out of that blessing that it would flow. You know what people say, right? They say, you know, we're like this, we're like a pond, and God will bless us. But you know, water in a pond, if it doesn't flow through, if there's no flow of the water stagnates, then it becomes like very, very dirty and bacteria. And after, if there's no circulation, that's what the Dead Sea is, right? You guys all know that, that the water flows down, but it doesn't go anywhere, and it becomes this Dead Sea. So blessing for us is not about, oh, you get the blessing and then it's all for me. The Lord allows us to be blessed so that we can then bless other people. So anyway, this was all heavy on my heart. And then God gave me this passage. And especially, this is essentially Elijah. So the background here for Israel was, and again, I won't go into this because I'm sure all of us here know all this background, is Israel at the time was under the king you know, Ahab, and he had married Jezebel, who was unfortunately not a very holy wife, not like my wife, not a very holy wife. He was a foreigner, and she had her own gods, especially the Baal worship, as you know, and obviously, as we can see in the passage, they were like all about cutting them. It was very sensual. It was just not very of God. And all of Israel, under the leadership of Ahab, who was influenced by Jezebel, had fallen into apostasy. So that's the situation. And then Elijah had decreed a drought, and essentially, it was a way God wanted to bring the people of Israel to repentance. And they didn't repent. Instead, they just kind of did their thing. And then Elijah thought, okay, the God spoke to Elijah and he said, time for a showdown. So he brought a showdown. And in the showdown, God showed up. And then revival happened. So anyway, so this is why about revival. But I was thinking first, how long will you waver between two opinions? So I know, obviously, again, the crowd here, that it's here on a Saturday on EMP, you're not necessarily being like, oh, Lord, I really want you to be, you know, Lord of my heart and stuff. So you're there. But may I just challenge us, like, a little bit more? And I could be just talking to myself, so I apologize. But, man, my heart, at least, I felt yesterday was, I'm still so self-centered. Like, I'm still not so focused on, Lord, you really are Lord of the universe. You really are in control. Instead, I'm wavering between two opinions. I'm like, let's think about this. This is the Bible. It really happened, right? So, you know, I have water. I have an altar. And then you pour water. And then pour more water. And then pour more water. And then you just pray with faith, Lord, come. And the fire comes. And it burns up this is like the God that we serve. This is real God. It's impossible, but it's God. So this is the sort of Lord that we serve. But then he's real. And I won't go into, we've had many testimonies. Even I'm sure you're sitting here because you had a testimony of God's providence in your life. But then how much am I wavering between two opinions? Do I look at this? I mean, how often do I? Rhetorical, I do. I often look at the circumstances and I let the circumstances dictate what I think about God instead of looking at the circumstances with the lens of what I know is God. That God is sovereign. That God is real. That God is a God who, even after I throw water three times on this altar, that the fire of God can come and burn up all the sacrifice. That's the God we serve. This is like the Lord that we serve is the Lord who heals physically, and as we've had so many testimonies at the well, the Lord that we serve heals people emotionally. He casts out demons. He controls the universe and all space and time and everything. And yet, how often do I waver between two opinions? If the Lord is Lord, then serve the Lord. If he is not, then go serve something else. But let's get it straight in our minds. Is the Lord the Lord? And if he is the Lord, the Bible says he's Lord not just of our lives on Sunday. He's not the Lord just of our lives during a few hours on Sunday. He's the Lord. And not only is the Lord, but he is the lover of our soul. He loves us with an uncompromising passion. So if this is the Lord of our hearts, the Lord of our souls and our spirits, then why are we vacillating between two opinions? We don't need to. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Number one, he really loves us and we don't need to vacillate between two opinions. But then number two is, if that is the case, then do I really love the Lord? Like, I'm not trying to condemn, but what I'm trying, sometimes we need to be mindful. I realized yesterday, you know, again, I think I love the Lord. I serve the church. I love the Lord. But yet sometimes my mind is not focused. Like, what I mean by that is, yesterday as I was sitting here, I thought, I want to be more mindful of, is my heart pleased and wanting the things that please you, Father? And one of the things I realized, and again, I'm just being honest with you guys, wow, we have an SP anniversary service coming up. Maybe I'm the only one who had kind of let that kind of slide from my mind a few days. But what am I doing to prepare the way for this anniversary service? You know, like we're almost so overblessed at this church. And I speak as a layperson. I'm not on staff, so I have no incentive to say this. But we are so blessed at this church. And God's blessed us, right? Through his servants. It's God who blessed us. But we have so much good teaching. We have so many good conferences. Crazy. I mean, so many anointed people walking through here. And we're like spoiled, actually. But here is this SP anniversary service. And this is a special conference. Do I have a heart of expectancy? Honestly, I was like yesterday, I thought, no, I was so focused on my own life. I was so focused on these things, not about the matters of God. And I'm a member here. I mean, I'm one of the, I do some leading here. And yeah, that's my heart. I realized, man, I'm so self-centered. I wasn't thinking about this SP anniversary service. I wasn't thinking about, Father, what can I do to help prepare the way? Father, what do you want, not just for me, but for this body, your house? What do you want to do during this SP anniversary conference? And actually, how can I partner with you? I wasn't thinking like that. I mean, actually, yesterday after I felt the conviction, I started thinking like that. But I wasn't before. So can I just gently, starting from me, I'm starting from me, okay? And maybe this is a message for us, maybe it's not. But if it's not, please discern it and throw it away if you want. But I'm just starting with me. I'm just sharing what's on my heart. I realized I have to be mindful. I love the Lord, but sometimes I let so many other things crowd out my mind. I'm so focused on my own things instead of the things of the Lord. By the way, our things are not wrong. God cares about us too, of course. But self-centeredness and of love, wanting to receive only love, limits us, I think. And it becomes a dead sea. So instead of just being so self-centered, like a little kid, right? When you're a little, I don't have children yet, but I see it when you're like my nieces and nephews. When you're 1 year old, you're all about me, 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 me. And hopefully you can grow past that, right? If you're like a 30-year-old and you're all about me, 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 people don't think you're so cute anymore. Actually, I'm sorry, but you're probably going to be single for the rest of your life if you're like that. I'm just saying, no one's going to think you're cute anymore. And I'm just saying, let's not be so self-centered like that, like me. Let's not be like me. And let's be like, yeah, Lord, what do you want? So as we think about that, so about revival, and so number one, so yeah, the thing about let's not dance around anymore. And do we really want revival? So then let's really ask the Lord, what do you want? How can I partner with you, Lord? I think one of the key things is, how much do we want revival? And I wanted to share with you some stories. So this week, I was, revival has been on my mind. So I was looking into some of this history, and I love this era of the internet, right? Because when I was growing up, we had library card catalogs, But then later on, when I got into college, we had the internet, and it was amazing. And now, so if I want, when I ever find any history about the world, I just go search the internet. So I've been searching about this thing called the Azusa Revival. So that's A-Z-U-S-A, and it's revival. And, you know, how people, so, and I've been reading books about it recently, but how people say, let me just give you the, there's, you know, some book, you know, it says that some people describe, so the perhaps the biggest move of miracles in the history of the church since the book of Acts is the Azusa Street Revival. So can I ask, how many of you guys have heard of this thing? Okay, then please give me a little bit of grace and I'll share a little bit about this. So one of the primary carriers of this revival was an African-American man called W.J. Seymour. Seymour was the son of former slaves and became a catalyst for this movement that now includes over 600 million worldwide and is growing exponentially. So what was the Azusa Street Revival? So around 1906, there was this black man. He was the son of two slaves, not really well-educated. He had lost one eye to smallpox, and he had been living somewhere in the South, and he just became Christian. And then he started really chasing after God. So he started attending these. And then he started studying under this man at a Bible college called Charles Parham. And at the time, the South was racially segregated. So he couldn't even, and unfortunately, the Charles Parham, he was a man of his time, so he was prejudiced. But W.J. Seymour, he so wanted to learn more about God. He said, "Can I please come to your Bible school?" He said, "You can come, but you can't sit with the other white students. You can stand in the hallway, and I'll leave the door open a little bit for you." Yeah. And so he said, "Okay, even I want to learn more about God." So he stood out. He did that. And then he was going through the program, and then he was speaking somewhere. So he didn't even know that much, but he was invited to speak somewhere, and this other lady saw him, and it said, "Wow, there's something about you that touches me. Please." And so she sent word to a friend who was in L.A., who was one of the leaders of a church, small church plant, and said, "Hey, you should get this guy to come and really share, because I know you guys are looking for a pastor." So he had no money, but they sent him a little one-way fare. So he took himself from the South, and he went to L.A. And so he arrived in L.A. And after two or three days, they padlocked the next morning. He went to church to speak, and they had padlocked the door. They had padlocked the door because they said, "We don't agree with your theology." Yeah. So he's in L.A. This Seymour, he's now in L.A. He has nowhere to go. He's sitting outside the steps of this church, but then one of the brothers in the church comes and takes pity on him and says, "This is not a very Christian. So, hey, why don't you come and stay at my house? So I'll go to work, and you can stay at my house, and you can try to figure out." So Seymour does this. He sits in his house. He sits in the house, and you know what he does? He does what he's been always doing. He just prays, and he reads the word. He doesn't get bitter. He just sits. And he just stays and prays for and this guy, the person who's sitting, and he works at a bank, actually, this other gentleman who had invited him, his house. So he is so, after a few days, he sees Seymour, and he doesn't know about all the theology disagreements, but he just looks at Seymour, and he thinks, "Oh, this must be a man of God. He's prayed for 5 hours. So he thought, "How can anyone pray for 5 hours? This man must be a man of God." So he says, "I want to join you in your prayer thing time. Can I join you?" So again, Seymour, he has nothing to do. He's at home sitting and reading the Bible. And then they start praying together. And then after a while, word gets around, there's this holy man, and he prays for 5 hours. Wow. So back then, it's not like, you know, now we've been blessed with so many different paradigm shifts. But back then, I guess it wasn't the case. So then a few people start coming, and then it becomes like maybe 10 people. And they start meeting at the house of this guy. And then they you know, 10 people, they can't fit into this guy's house anymore. So they move into this other house. And at that house, Seymour, as they pray, one bold thing about Seymour. So what he was preaching about, what he had been teaching and had been taught, was about that, wow, there must be more about the Holy Spirit. Essentially, at the time, there's obviously salvation, and then there's justification. So what that means is salvation, we're saved by Christ, but then number two, we are then sanctified with the old things that we were used to, like let's say if you like to look at unclean things on the internet or something, you won't want to do that anymore because you're sanctified by God. Those old sins, you won't find them desirous anymore. But then as he was reading the Bible, he saw this Acts 2 about, wait, let's think about this. Holy Spirit, people getting healed, tongues of fire. There must be more. And so that's what he was chasing after. So he had been teaching about Holy Spirit, yet Seymour himself did not have the gift of tongues yet. But he was teaching about it and saying, this is what we should ask for, even though he himself had not had it. Anyway, so this is what he was teaching at this room with 10 people. And this is what happened. In this room with 10 people, after Seymour had been padlocked and blah, 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 he prayed for the brother that had invited him into that house. And the unexpected happened. God showed up. The Holy Spirit showed up. And this man, he got this thing, tongues. Whoa. And I think probably Seymour was really surprised. But he got tongues and the Holy Spirit came. And then word spread through the neighborhood. This thing that it's in the Bible with Acts 2 happened. And then hundreds of people came to this house. And then 1,000 people came to this house. It became so big that the porch fell down. So then they, like the porch where it was a natural altar where he could preach out into the backyard. But so many people couldn't come near the house because so many people came. Because they saw a move of God. They said, this man, which we all know, he's in the neighborhood in L.A., he suddenly speaks in tongues, and it seems like real. So all these people came to see it. And then next week or something, they realized, we need to do something because the porch broke. The porch literally, like, it collapsed. The house collapsed. So we can't meet here anymore. So then they found this place, an old abandoned church that was being used as a stable. So horses, dung, and flies were there. And they found this because the rent was cheap because it was, you know, it smelled. So that was the thing in Azusa Street. And they found this old abandoned church and they started meeting. And what happened was, and there's articles that you can even find the LA Times article. They had sent a reporter at the time. This is 1906. And you can even find the copy of these things online. And they said, like they saw a phenomenon like they had to call the fire department because people thought who didn't know what was going on. They thought there was a fire going on in this church, like a literal fire because they saw tongues of fire. And anyway, all this crazy happening. So the LA Times, a secular newspaper, sent a reporter to report on all this, wondering what's going on. And so enough to say, I guess just to summarize, what I was trying to say was, this is what happens when revival happens. Like, people, just like with Elijah, people see a move of God, it's impossible, it happens, and then people are touched. People are moved. They want to come see more of God. Now, I guess my heart was, wow, Lord, if you have to have revival, and of course we can't tell you what to do, but why not here at SP? Lord, if you have to have revival somewhere, then I want to be where you are. But why not here at SP? Why not here? And I think it starts with, what did it start with? It started in 1 Kings with one man. It started with Elijah. And he said, and God used him to do this because he had a passion for revival. He wanted to see God glorified. He was so sad at what was going on. And what happened in Azusa? It happened with a few men, but there weren't many. If you had the population of LA, I'm sure it was thousands and thousands and thousands, and there was maybe like a few men who really had a heart for the Lord. And they did not let padlocked doors or racial segregation or lack of education or one eye. None of this stood in their way. They just said, no matter what, wow, I don't know what this is, but the Bible's true and I want more of it. That was it. So can I just today, sorry, I spoke a lot, but today, can I just invite us? I had it in my heart. Look, I don't know what God, we don't ever force twist our God's arm, but it's very clear. The historical record seems to be very clear, and the Bible is very clear. It doesn't take a lot of people. So here we are. Usually the SP Sanctuary is this times two, right? I think. That's our congregation, maybe 2.5 of the number of seats. Right now, there's maybe like 10 of us here, but that doesn't matter. I really felt like we have an SP anniversary service coming. Can we, if it's in your heart, and I was convicted of this yesterday, yeah, can we come together? And if, can we just, if again, if you're in a place, I don't know, maybe you're not feeling called to do this, it's okay, because let's be authentic, right? What I really appreciate about Elijah and about the Azusa, it was all about authenticity. Elijah didn't have to cut himself. Our God doesn't need us to be like, I don't think that's it. We can just be authentic with him. He just said, Lord, you're real. Please hear my prayer. Answer me so that people will know that you're real. And with Azusa, sorry, I need to, because I've been so touched by this historical, as I've been reading into it, Brother Seymour, because there was a lot of, you know, obviously a lot of Holy Spirit stuff, and it can get really kind of crazy. But this is what the history says. So sometimes people would come, and they would like pound the table. It's like, hallelujah, or something. I don't know, but I imagine. It would be like, yes, Lord, yeah, yeah. And people, and Brother Seymour, he would just quietly go up to that person, and he would say, brother, this is a move of the Holy Spirit. There's no room for the flesh here. So he wouldn't say it out loud. He would just quietly go up to that person and say, brother, we don't need to do that here. Or like he would go to a sister and say, he would just love them. And I really, this Seymour person who had this heart, and you know, I'm sure he was a man, he was fallible, but at least he got a few things right. And he was authentic. He didn't, and we don't need to do that either. We don't need to be like, Lord is real, and he listens to our prayers. So anyway, it's a little bit disjointed, I apologize, but this was my heart. I wanted to share about the revival, and maybe that we need to have a heart for revival and not just our own benefit, and revival for SP, for Hong Kong, for our neighbors. And if that's the case, maybe I just wanted to spend some time. Can we just pray for this? That we have an SP anniversary service coming. I had forgotten about it again. Like it had kind of slipped my mind for a few days. But just to come together and just to pray for our brothers and sisters next to us. You know, and that's the same thing, even pre-service prayer, that's what we do, right? I mean, we come together and we pray for the brother and sisters next to us for the service that's about to happen, that we would pray, pray the price for our friends. So I just wanted us to invite us to do that today. Maybe we could turn on some music. And, yeah. I want us to remember in James 5, 17, 18, it said Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And then again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So we just read exactly that biblical record, and then in the New Testament, hundreds of years later, James writes, Elijah was just a man. We are just men and women, but we have the same Holy Spirit that enabled Elijah to do these things and to bring revival. That same Holy Spirit is in us. And the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in us. So let's remember that as we pray. Elijah was just a man, but that same Holy Spirit that enabled him is in us. So let's really come together and pray for SP, for this anniversary service. Thank you. Yeah, let's pray. I want to be sensitive to time, but so let's, I just invite you, you know, we don't just pray, we don't need to pray only here, but I just invite you, we're all here placed divinely in Hong Kong and SP in this body for some reason. And God has a plan not just for our lives, but for SP, for Hong Kong and the world. And I just pray, Lord, will you help us to, of course, and we thank you so much that you love us, but that you would help us to get our eyes off of just us, Lord, but help us see the greater purposes that you have, Lord. And as children, as your children who love you, man, give us a heart of excitement and passion for how you want to touch your other children, Lord, the world. So, Father, I ask that you would just give us a passion for your heart, that you would just use us, Lord, whatever it is. Help us to pray and seek your face for the greater purposes you have for our body, the family that you have placed us in now, and for the city that you have placed us in now, Lord. So we thank you so much. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. So let's go to the, and I want to be sensitive to time, let's just go to the Saturday prayer. So let's, number one, let's pray for the mission focus, so North Korea and South Korea, so as it's up there. So for our friends in North Korea, and also for the potential church plan in South Korea as well. Pray for SP 2.0, the new building and benefactor. Number one, let's remember that SP is not just about a new building. It's about the vision of the Father that he has for this house, this family. And SP 2.0 is not about a building, although that is what God's, but it's more than that. It's not just about what God can do through the building. God's called SP to be an apostolic training center for all of the nations. So, yeah, let's just really pray that, especially we have a town hall coming up, that people could align with this vision, that it's not just about themselves, but it's about, Lord, what's your vision for this family that you have placed me in, and that everybody can align behind this vision. Let's really pray for that. Yeah. Lift up all the SP weekend activities, IP, there's no IP on the weekend, so we should, we meet on Fridays now again. So EMP Bible study, prison outreach, all the outreaches, homeless, drug rehab, and the Sunday services, Noah's Ark, the worship, hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SP in services and activities, and all meetings. Let's really cover it. Let's pray for the house churches, DeVoe, Discovery Bay, Mahwa, McDaddy, Robinson Bay, Westside. Let's pray for such an overflowing of the Holy Spirit in the house churches. Let's pray for such an anointing on the leaders. And let's pray for much fruit to come out of these meetings. Thank you guys, and so Lord, we thank you for this time. Just enjoy the rest of your time today, prayer time. Just God bless you.